Have we lost our sense of what it means for something or someone to be sacred? Have we lost our sense of what it means for something or someone to be sacred? Today's gospel account of Jesus cleansing the temple by driving out the money changers is an important story, so much so that it can be found in all four of the gospels. This morning we hear from the second chapter of the Gospel of St. John, where he places this story towards the beginning of the Gospel in order to show us all that Jesus said and did in his ministry pointed towards his impending death and resurrection. And clearly John doesn't hold back to show that Jesus was not only full of righteous zeal for his Father's house, but that he also did not hold back in expressing this zeal as he drove out the money changers from the temple by making a whip of cords and turning over tables. But here it's important for us to understand that Jesus wasn't so much upset because of what the money changers were doing. After all, what they were doing was not wrong or immoral. In fact, they were providing a service for pilgrims who had come to offer their sacrifice in the temple during the time of Passover. What Jesus did take issue with is where the money changers were conducting their business. Rather than remaining outside on the streets or in a marketplace where such activity belongs, they brought their business into a sacred space. They had set up their tables in an outer court that was a space reserved for the Gentiles to come and worship God. And by setting up shop in this sacred space, the money changers were taking away the opportunity for these God-fearing Gentiles to come and worship the one true God according to their belief. So in response, Jesus drives them out in order to purify and to cleanse the sacred space, a space that had been set apart, a place that had been made holy. We use the word sacred to refer to anything that pertains to God, something that is eternal, something that's heavenly as opposed to earthly. We also use the word sacred to describe things that have been set apart or consecrated, made sacred for the worship of God. We use the word sacred to distinguish certain places and times and items apart from what is profane, what is common, and what is subject to change. With that understanding of the word sacred in our minds, we can look at our own lives and examine whether or not we have a true sense of what is sacred. And how do our words and actions reflect that understanding? How does our behavior at times lead to the desecration of sacred times, places, and objects? First, let's take a look at Holy Mother Church, a divine institution that's been established by Christ in order to continue his saving mission on earth. As a body with Christ as its head, the church has been set apart and made holy by God in order to carry out his saving work. Yet, throughout history, and as we know in recent history, the sinful actions of its members, including bishops, priests, deacons, and laity, have made it quite difficult for some people to see the church as a sacred reality. Money has been misused, trust has been broken, people have been harmed, and even the consecrated hands of priests and bishops have been used to commit evil. And as a result, some people now see the church as nothing more than a human construct that was designed to comfort like-minded people, to alleviate their own feelings of guilt, and to give them a false sense of holiness. Clearly, the hearts of the church's members are in need of purification and cleansing in order to allow the sacred nature of God's church, his beloved bride, to be seen more clearly by all who are in search of him. What about the sacred liturgy or the church building itself? Do we treat our churches as sacred spaces where we come to encounter the divine presence? If you look at how most churches are constructed, Catholic churches, you'll see clear signs that indicate a separation between what is considered sacred space and what is considered profane or not sacred. Here at John Vianney, we have these beautiful copper doors, which in these times we prop open. But the doors are meant to signal to us that we're crossing over from what is temporal and earthly, and we're stepping into a place that's been set apart for the divine worship of God, a place where heaven meets earth. And so within these doors, we celebrate that sacred liturgy, which is a gift to us from God, so that we realize that our lives are being made sacred, that they've been set apart for worship and service to God. And then we take that belief and understanding through these doors so as to spread it to the world around us. Do our actions when we're here in this sacred space reflect that understanding? Do our actions outside those doors reflect that belief? Or do we sometimes forget the sacred nature of this space and just treat it as any other large gathering space? Do we in our own ways turn it into a marketplace, a common area that has not been set apart for divine worship? How do we treat ourselves and one another? All human life at every stage is sacred. However, as baptized Christians, you and I have been particularly set apart and made holy. Through baptism, we're purified of original sin, we're put back into right relationship with God, and then God pours his sanctifying grace into our souls, and he comes to dwell within us. Do we sometimes treat our bodies and the bodies of others as something less than sacred? Do our actions or our sins of omission sometimes ignore the sacredness of the lives of others? In what ways do we desecrate what God himself has made holy? Well, in our first reading, God sort of gives us the first glimpse of the answer. Anytime that you and I fail to observe the Ten Commandments, we are most likely taking what is holy and treating it as something less than what it truly is. And so that presents us with another question. How then do we recover our sense of the sacred? Well, the answer to that question is the same as the first. We recommit ourselves to following those Ten Commandments. We worship the one true God and have no other gods before him. We don't worship false idols. We keep holy the Sabbath and don't put other activities on Sundays or the weekend ahead of our worship of God. We stay reverent with his holy name. We uphold the sacred nature of every human life. And we're honest and remain grateful for what we have so as not to become envious of others. We say only the good things that people need to hear. We focus on building one another up instead of tearing one another down. In short, as Jesus and the scriptures sum it up for us, we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourself. And when we fail to do that, because all of us do at times, then we come before God, especially in the sacrament of reconciliation, and we ask him to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to purify our hearts. As much as this holy season of Lent is a time of examining our conscience and our hearts, it's also a time for us to recover a sense of what is truly sacred in this world. If we consider everything sacred in our lives, then nothing truly is. And if we deny what is truly sacred and we treat it the same as everything else in our lives, just one more thing to do, then we deny the very existence of God in our lives and the eternal life that he desires to share with us. So in these coming weeks, as we prepare our hearts for Easter, let's ask God to grant us the grace not only to recover our sense of what is truly sacred in this world, but also to live our lives in a way that leads others to encounter the sacred and thus come to encounter God's loving presence in their lives as well.